Welcome in, Jaguars.com Live. A look inside Everbank Field, the home of the Jaguars. A little quiet these days inside there. The Jags coming off the playoff run. The offseason is here. We're waist deep in it now. Welcome in, JP Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today here on Jaguars.com Live. The big news earlier in the week from the Jaguars, the season ticket deadline right around the corner. The tarps are coming off the stadium next year. And some uniform changes down the pike. We'll get with John Osier and Brian Sexton coming up, and we'll discuss the greatest personnel needs for this Jags team over the next month or two, and a visit with Bucky Brooks from NFL Network. He's an analyst for the NFL Network, and he's big time on the NFL Scouting Combine. That's a couple of weeks away in Indianapolis. We welcome in Brian Sexton. John Osier, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Hola.
Yes, hello.
Good, John. JP. How are you?
Doing well. Good thank you. Let's start with this big news. I mean, you guys had Mark Lamping on earlier this week on Drive Time, the day of the announcement of the season ticket deadline. March 9th is coming up. The tarps are coming off. Uniform changes down the line. That's a lot to throw out at the fan base in one day, and the response was, and still is, a little bit of a buzz online.
Well, Brian, we had Mark on an Drive Time, and I thought the biggest thing that I took away from him is the psychological need to remove the tarps. I think it's as much that as it is anything. Shad Khan clearly for 5 or 6 years has wanted them off. The fan base, as Mark said yesterday, it's the fans who sort of have to fight that perception fight on Twitter, et cetera, and now they don't have to do it anymore, it's and good for them.
You know, the perception versus the reality. You realize that in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, which is what the o.code.com, mm-hmm.
something like that
now, there are 27 sections tarped off. 27. Do you ever hear about that? Only when I bring it up.
Just now.
Yeah, just now. Okay. How about what they did at FedEx Field? They used a little more subterfuge, right? They took out seats. Right, this is the Redskins, the right. Washington Redskins. You know,
and they've been gone for years.
Right.
Those seats.
They took the seats out, but they put up poles, and then they put, you know, that netting they put on tennis courts, then they painted it like FedEx colors, orange, green, and purple. Well, they did the same thing. They remove seats from FedEx Field, everybody. The Redskins, mm-hmm. the best fans in the NFL. But no one ever said, hey, you guys are liars and cheaters because you don't tell people that you do this, but you do it anyway. And then you probably point your finger at the Jaguars and say, well, the Jaguars. They were doing it. The Raiders were doing it. The Jaguars now are saying, you know what? We don't need to anymore. Good for them. I got tired, for one, and I've been here since the beginning. So I'm a little more sensitive than you two about this. I got tired of the Raiders and the Redskins getting away with it and everybody making the Jaguars be the scapegoat for what the rest of the league knows is it's tough to fill your building no matter who you are.
Oh, exactly right. And Mark made a good point a couple of times when talking this week that the story in Jacksonville, we all knew why. We all knew that it was the Florida Georgia stadium for the size, and realistically in the NFL you had to get it back down to mid-60s or even low-60s, frankly.
Chicago. It's 61,000, Chicago.
Right, but the national people who comment and make barbs and
who don't
fans,
know what they're talking about,
but they don't have time. You know,
I get it. I'm just making the point.
You wouldn't expect them to.
Didn't
know.
Stop them from saying something though, John. They didn't have time to research,
not.
but they
That's
had
the
time
game.
To pop off and
That's
say
what they
it.
Do.
Yeah. So
they shouldn't.
Good that they don't have to fight that fight anymore, and good that you don't have to see it on Twitter anymore. You still will, but good that at least they're gone.
Let me throw this out to you because mm-hmm. I noticed it in October when we were in Pittsburgh. If the Jaguars fans don't buy the tickets in Pittsburgh, and there were a lot of Jaguars fans there that day, they have empty seats. They were all up on the secondary market, right? Even Pittsburgh.
The league is to the point now where there's a handful of teams, 4 or 5, that are going to have full buildings every week. The Packers and a few others than that. But unless you're good and going guns blazing, you're going to have empty seats in your building in the second half of the season. And if you're not good, you're going to have a lot of them. It's just the way of the world right now. That's how the NFL is. And I don't think this franchise is any different than a lot of franchises on that front.
It's going to have a new look for this football team next year, too. That was confirmed that the announcement will come in April of the new uniforms and new helmets for the Jaguars. Every 5 years, the team can change. We haven't really at least I haven't seen what they look like. I don't know about you guys, if you had a sneak peek or not, but today's probably not the day to break that news, but it's coming soon, and that's exciting.
It's coming, and that's all I can say about it.
That's all you can write about it, too, right. On Ozone.
Yeah. No, that's all we know.
Well, and, I mean, sure. Mark said there would be a new helmet design, which it seems obvious. That never grew on me. I, for one, though, really like the current uniform. I like the white with the black sleeves and the teal numbers. That, to me, was one of the better uniforms in the league. I get it. They, you know, and Mark said, I think they were going for something more traditional. You know, they're changing for changing's sake, but I like the current uniforms. I thought they were well done.
It certainly sounds like they will be more traditional. And Mark said it a couple times this week, and I kind of see the point. In 2012, 2013, they had just gotten here. There was a feeling that nobody was really paying much attention to the franchise, and outside the city, they weren't. So there's really nothing to lose. It feels like they're going to go back to a little more of that former Jaguars identity, a little plainer. I'm fine, Brian, because unlike you, I'm kind of a traditional guy. So
I
like standard, a little calmer, but I'm a little more boring than you. You're a little more out there.
I'm a little more out there than you.
And you're a little more Oregon. He's a little more Penn State.
Yeah, although
you're a little bit country, and I'm a little bit rocky.
That is true. Right. I would say that now the Jaguars have a decision to make. Do they go with this uniform and try and be a Green Bay or a Dallas or a Kansas City, you know, that team that has the enduring uniform, tradition or otherwise, that's their look. I, for one, would be happy if the look they have now, changing the helmet, obviously, would be their enduring look because I liked it. But are you going to change every 5 years and be that Oregon that's constantly selling? If you're winning, you don't have to. If you're not winning, maybe you have to. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what their approach is in 2023 when the opportunity comes to change yet again.
I think we've already said too much.
That they're waiting.
I know. I haven't said. I haven't said too much.
The man in the black suit out there is waiting on you.
I'm scared.
Let's move on to the football side now. It's that time of year. We're a couple of weeks away from the NFL scouting combine, and then the league year starts in mid-March. So free agency opens then. What are the most important personnel needs for this football team? Let's take away the quarterback discussion because that's talked to death already, and there's really only two sides to that. What other positions? What's the greatest need for this Jags team right now?
Well, I'll couch it by saying if they don't re-sign A-Rob and if they don't re-sign Aaron Colvin, then it's wide receiver and nickel because you got to get those spots fixed. I'm thinking both of those guys are going to be back. So that said, I think interior offensive line and tight end, although I would go more toward interior offensive line because, again, I'm not sure that they've decided what Michael Rivera is, et cetera. I don't know if that's a glaring need, but they got to get better on the offensive line.
Well,
hey, Brian.
Yeah. Whatever Michael Rivera is, I think it's fair to say he's not Zach Ertz, right? I mean, we saw this year for the Eagles what Ertz meant to Carson Wentz and what he meant to Nick Foles during their playoff run. So if one of those tight ends, the Goddard kid, the kid that played at Bowles, South Carolina, Hayden Hurst, and the kid Andrews from Oklahoma, if one of those can be Zach Ertz, well, I want him. I mean, I need that. That's what my quarterback right now, Bortles, does pretty well. Throw some of those wheels and throw some of those underneath routes to the tight ends. I'd like to get that. I also agree with John. The interior offensive line, the guard play. Brandon Linder is one of the highest paid offensive linemen in the league. At center, we know what he is. You got to get better at guard. Too often in the A-gaps this year, there were guys laying at Fournette's feet. And for a downhill runner, you've got to be able to get clear of the line of scrimmage. And he just didn't much from those two spots. So I think you got to get better at guard. And there are some good guards that will be around where the Jaguars are picking.
Fournette's a physical runner. If you're going to run the way this team wants to run with him, you must be more physical up front and be able to create holes.
Yeah, that's where it starts. And that's what they said, you know, last year in the introductory press conferences. Where is football played? It's in the trenches. I mean, that's where it was designed to be played, was on the offensive and defensive line.
If you get a chance, go find the video of Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, and what he did to Arden Key, the defensive end from LSU in their bowl game. I take him right now. To have that
he's
kind
not
of a
be there at 29,
oh,
though.
He might not be there at 10.
Right.
I mean, but give me that kind of a player that's nasty and physical, like a Zach Martin, and that's just, with my first pick. And I know people, that's not a sexy pick. They don't, you know, it's not the receiver or the tight end. But if you add that kind of a component, that demeanor, that personality, that intensity to the interior of your offensive line, a guy who plays guard like Leonard Fournette runs, whew.
So all Brian wants is the guy who's going to be going in the top 10 and you can't get.
Mark that down. Hold on.
Unfortunately, because he's great.
That's sure. all
You're
I
absolutely
want.
Right.
Yeah. There are a couple of other guys. The guard from UTEP's pretty good. There are some other guards out there. But give me that nasty attitude wherever you find it.
You if you pair that kind of mentality with a guy like Linder, who is that mentality, and Cam Robinson when he's healthy on that left side, those three guys together, let's go.
Well, I mean, Jeremy Parnell's not a particularly nice guy either. That's fine. Right. It's not a game for well-adjusted men. Yeah. Give me some anger on that offensive line. Give me an offensive line that plays like this defensive line and attacks. Now I've got something with Fournette. Now I've got something.
Yeah. Let's a little more receiver talk while we're here. You mentioned A-Rob, what the deal could be with him. Who knows? What about the other two guys? Marquise Lee, Alan Hearns, a question mark. I mean, where do you stand on those two guys coming back around?
Well, I mean, let's start with Hearns and the obvious. He has missed 11 games the last 2 years and scored 5 touchdowns since he got his big deal. At $7 million in all savings now, because all of the dead money's off the cap, I do not see him returning, right? I can't see it. He didn't really... He had trouble getting open in the playoff game.
Yeah, he had trouble getting open all year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not a speed guy. So he gives you reliability. But I don't know that – well, they showed. They didn't really want him as a one or a two right now. He's not really a slot, so it's hard to pay him $7 million. I like – you know, and we all do. Hearns and Marquise Lee.
Fantastic.
Known him 4 years. Fantastic guys. Love being around him. I said my goodbyes to him on Breakaway Monday or whatever it was, because I'm assuming they won't be back.
It's a game of replacement. And they drafted replacement last year in D.D. Westbrook, and they found one in Keelan Cole. Marquise, I think, will get a deal between $7 and $9 million.
But it can't be here.
It can't be here. No, you've got too many other things that you want to do. And Alan Hearns, for undrafted, great story, you got, 4 years out of Alan Hearns, and he made – about 16, 17 million bucks in the deal. Good for both parties. Time to move on.
Yeah, Alan's going to carve out a 9-10 year career, make a lot of money. I just think right now with the Jaguars situation, they can't get him back. What we're talking about is why Allen Robinson is such a crucial issue right now, because if you don't get him back, I don't think, even without A-Rob, I don't think you can go after Lee and Hearns because they don't give you what you need. If they don't get Allen Robinson back, all of a sudden that's what you have to draft because you're rebuilding the entire receiving core. I don't know that it's a given they get him back. So that's the thing that I'm going to be watching in the next month. That's a crucial area.
JP, you and I stood on the sidelines and watched him during training camp, and both of us marveled that particular day that I'm recalling at how he was able to get open against Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye, get his feet down, make the catch against guys whose coverage is so transparent. It's like they cover you in cellophane. And yet he was still making the plays. They got to have that back.
Got to have it. Got to have it. And a few things coming down the line here with the combine coming up, free agency, and then, of course, the draft at the end of April. We'll come back in a moment with a look at the Jags youth football outreach. Ashlyn Sullivan joins us with more in 60 seconds on Jaguars.com Live.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the 5 local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
Jaguars.com Live continues. JP Shattuck with you. More with Brian Sexton, John Osher coming up. The Jaguars youth football outreach is year-round, the entire calendar year, not just during the football season. And in the past, the Jaguars have had boys flag football tournaments just outside of Everbank Field in the practice fields. They've added girls flag football this offseason for an event coming up in a few weeks, a high school jamboree the local high school girls play in a league around the Jacksonville area. But the Jamboree leading up to the season is coming up at the Flex Field at Daly's Place. Ashlyn Sullivan talked with Jags Director of Youth Football, Marcus Pollard, earlier. He's done playing, of course, but the Jags have a way to get high school girls on the field.
And harness this fan base. Because a lot of times when we start to do numbers, we're starting to understand that we're losing a lot of fans and a lot of kids to playing football. And the league has this forecast of saying, let's get everybody involved. And after hearing that, we thought, what a cool concept. We've been doing it for the boys. They're getting a chance to experience doing something here on campus that not a lot of kids get an opportunity to do around the league.
Ashlyn Sullivan joins us now after that visit with Marcus Pollard earlier. How about some, when's the Jamboree? We got any more details on this?
Yes, the Jamboree is March 3rd at Everbank Field, Flex Field, like you just said. 12 teams, 7-on-7, roundtable style, one-day event. The teams can sign up on jaguars.com/girlsflag. It's a great way to get girls involved. I mean, I'm surprised it took them this long to figure it out, and I'm really excited about it.
And Marcus has a couple of daughters. I know they were fired up for this, right?
Absolutely. I mean, him as a dad, I thought it was really cool from that perspective, from a dad, to get his daughters the same opportunities like he has for his sons. I know he was really excited about it.
Now, when you were in high school not that long ago, would you have done something like this?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember my brother played high school football all his life, and I remember being on the sidelines and being at the games and at practices and wishing I could get involved. So this is a great way. I mean, even now, being 22, and I mean, even John probably wants to go play a flag football game at Daly's Place. How cool is that? Yes, you do. Don't lie.
John says no, but
I'd pull or break something.
That's probably
very quickly.
True.
So, huge opportunity to be able to play where the Jaguars play and practice every day.
Very cool. It's coming up very soon. And the full interview with Marcus is coming up this afternoon, right?
It is on jaguars.com.
Okay, we'll take a look at that. Well done.
Thank you.
Ashlyn Sullivan with us. Let's go around the National Football League and start off in Indianapolis. Frank Reich, 5-year deal as the head coach of the Colts. Are they better off with him than they would have been with McDaniels?
Well, answer this. Will he have Andrew Luck?
Great question.
If he has Andrew Luck, they will be.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to tell when you're coming in a situation because McDaniels was the hot guy. So obviously he's the guy they wanted. I actually knew Frank a little bit in his, I believe it was his first year in Indy, 2008, right before I left, or 2007, one of them. Very good guy. You could tell at the time that you thought he was probably destined for at least an offensive coordinator type level. They really respected him at the time. This was 2 or 3 years before Peyton left is when they were still going strong. They still were putting up 11, 12 wins, top offenses. Frank at that point had a lot of respect around the building. He had been out of football for a while, but there was a feeling that he was a rising star. Took 10 years, which isn't very long in this league. So I think they got a good guy. I'm a little more worried about him now over the long term than I would have been with Josh McDaniels. I'm not a big Josh McDaniels guy, but that's just, you know, I'm sure he's not big on me either, Rob.
No, I
get it.
The other side of the coin is Chris Ballard, the general manager. He's got a big job in front of him. He's got to build that offensive line. He's got to give them more players on defense. So for Frank Reich, if he feels comfortable with the mission, with the plan that Chris Ballard set out, who, by the way, was very impressive, after he went in that news conference and talked about Josh McDaniels walking away. So I would think they're in pretty good hands, again, but it all comes back to luck. If you've got luck, you've got a team.
If they don't have luck, Johnny Manziel could be out there. The news today that he signed up for the Spring League, it's March 28th. It starts in Austin, Texas. He says
he's
sober. Can you
play that league, John?
He says he has bipolar disorder he's been diagnosed with. He's sober now, but he wants to play ball again. He's going to start in March.
I'll just paraphrase the question that I took on Drive Time yesterday about the Jaguars signing Manziel. And it was something along the lines of... So, I mean, I guess hopefully for him it works out and he moves forward and gets another shot. It feels like the shelf life is just about the point where it's his last chance.
Do you suppose in Texas they will treat him as people here in Florida treated Tebow? And, you know, the old quarterback that never quite died but just kind of faded away? Because we still get the Tebow stuff. And so I wonder if in Texas they're going, well, give Johnny a chance. Now, of course, they're not completely similar because Tim has none of the off-the-field stuff that Manziel does. But you just wonder. I mean, he was that electrifying quarterback in College Station. You wonder if down there they're going, hey, Bring him in.
Well, this is his chance, and we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We'll see when we come back. Bucky Brooks, he'll join us on the line. We'll get to the NFL Scouting Combine a couple of weeks away. The Jaguars had the deep run in the playoffs. We'll get Bucky's thoughts on that coming up in 60 seconds on Jaguars.com Live.
Jag Stands. Experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jaguars.com Live continues. JP Shadrick with you. Brian Sexton, John Osier coming up on the line now from NFL Network, analyst for NFL Network. He'll dig deep to the NFL Scouting Combine in a couple of weeks. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks. Bucky Brooks, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on with us today. I know it's a busy time of year. You just had your top five prospects at every position come out on NFL.com. The Combine's right around the corner. We'll get to all that. But we know each week during the late run of the regular season and into the postseason, you had the Jaguars a lot of this way. What'd you think of the postseason run for the Jags?
You know, I thought it was a great run. I thought it was a great opportunity for the Jaguars to really put themselves in position to go to the Super Bowl. And when you look at the way it played out, the game was right there for them to win in the championship game. And it was heartbreaking to see them fall just a little short against the New England Patriots. But I do believe the future is bright. I believe the team is ready to really make that next step. Have to make a couple tweaks on both sides of the ball. But I think the Jaguars are a team that should be in the next 2 to 3 years to finally get to the Super Bowl, because I think it's something that everybody down in Jacksonville and all Jaguar fans desperately want to see.
Bucky, John Osier here. We've talked the last few years. You still feel an attachment to this franchise. I'm wondering if you were fired up during that. I mean, did you feel an attachment as you watched this franchise sort of come back late this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that, for me, it's probably the closest connection that I have with any team that I play on. Obviously, been a guy that was around the league for like 6 years, bouncing around, but played for five different teams. The run that I had in 96 and 97 with the Jaguars is the most meaningful, not only just in terms of the success that we had, but the connections that I made with the players, playing with some of my college teammates and Natron Means and others, Randy Jordan, seeing Jimmy Smith every day, Coach Coughlin. So for me, Jacksonville is the team that I can identify with. And so for them to finally be on the map and to have them make a run, yeah, it was a special time for me. And also with Tony being up for Hall of Fame consideration and all that stuff, I was hoping that it was kind of the perfect storm, because that would have been great to see the Jags make Super Bowl 52, because I think they obviously had a chance to do it. And I said they got in. I thought they matched up really well with the teams that were coming in from the NFC.
Okay, so we'll hit you with the big question right out of the gate, Bucky, and that is, what would you do at quarterback if you were the general manager?
Man, it's such a tough decision, because as up and down as Blake Bortles has been, he did play well when they needed him to play well in the postseason. I think the biggest thing, and the only reason there's any pause or hesitation, is we've seen the money that goes off the board to the quarterbacks. And when you're paying a quarterback $20-plus million, you kind of expect him to be able to elevate the franchise. I think everyone around the building in Jacksonville will say that, look, Blake has been good, he's been solid, but the rest of the pieces around him kind of have to elevate his play. If he's willing to have an honest look at where he is and understand how he fits in the structure, and they're able to kind of build a contract that allows him to make sure that the village is good enough to support them, I'm okay with him being the quarterback. But if it's going to be a situation where he's going to be a $26, $30 million quarterback and you're prevented from getting the other stuff, I think it's hard to kind of endorse him as a upper echelon quarterback when the production hasn't necessarily been to that level.
Is Kirk Cousins a quarterback that is capable of coming in here and being the difference? We don't obviously see him very often. The last time the Jaguars saw him in person was 2014. Do you see him as being a guy that if they determine that Blake isn't going to lift them up and isn't going to earn that kind of a check, is he the guy?
You know, it's so funny because the same conversation, the same question that I throw out there about Blake Bortles, I could issue the same with Kirk Cousins. I think it all comes down to the compensation. Because with Kirk Cousins has been good, and everyone that is in his camp will say, look, he's had three straight 4,000-yard seasons. He's been terrific in terms of his passer rating. But at the end of the day, what are the notable wins that he's put on the resume? And if you haven't put those notable wins and you know that he is going to also need a village around him, you're going to need Kirk Cousins to come off that $30 million price tag to make sure that you can build a team. So, yes, Kirk Cousins could come in there. He'd be a little more consistent than what Blake has displayed throughout his time there. But at the same point, if you're paying him $30 million and you're thinking that you're getting a Tom Brady, an Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees, that's not necessarily what he is. He's a guy that can drive the bus and get you to the winner's circle, but he's going to need the rest of the pieces in place to be able to do so.
Bucky Brooks with us, NFL Network analyst, host of the Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah. Give him a follow on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. Either way, I mean, the Jags window is open now to have some success the next few years. The defense is around for the next couple of seasons or so. So you've really got to strike while you can. And whatever that means at the end of the day for this Jaguars franchise, you got to go win some games and win them right now.
Absolutely. Like, this is the time. And that window is always shorter than we anticipate. That window is probably about a 2 or 3 year window before you have to start paying the guys on the defense and you're not able to hold it together. So yeah, the thing that is holding the Jaguars back from being that team that we can routinely circle in as the Super Bowl participant is the quarterback play and then finding one more weapon on offense that can give them consistent production in the passing game. I know you didn't have Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson wasn't around last year. We've been up and down with some of the other playmakers. But someone that can be a big-time guy that can control the middle of the field and exploit some of the eight-man fronts that you're going to see when you have Leonard Fournette and some of the other runners in the backfield, that is the next step for them. Quarterback play, playmaking in the passing game.
All right, Bucky, let's look forward a little bit here to the NFL Scouting Combine. You had your top five NFL draft prospects for each position. That came out, I think, last week. Is that hard to compile? How do you begin putting that kind of a list together?
It's kind of daunting, and right now, here's what I say we are. Right now, we're just realtors. So I can't get you to the right house, but I'm trying to get you into the right neighborhood. So the early part of this process is just trying to get enough names that are up there that you know are pretty good players. And then as we continue to go down this road, I'll kind of get the board stacked right in terms of how they play and how they perform. But, yeah, it's a list that you start compiling during the fall, and you kind of talk to some of your scouting buddies, even though they – swear me to secrecy and not to put them out there, but you try and get them to kind of help you find your way. Then you look at the tape and kind of put top fives out there at every position.
You know, it's a weird position for the Jags because for the last 10 years, consecutively, they've drafted in the top 10. Now it's 29th for the second time in franchise history. I guess we really don't know where to start, you know, at least in coverage of the draft. It's a little different feel around here in Jacksonville this year, Bucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And we say this as I'm watching on our network, the replay of the divisional round of Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. But you're right. It is unfamiliar territory in terms of being at the bottom of the first round. And a lot of times your philosophy changes at the bottom of the first round as compared to the top pick because you don't have any control on who's going to be available. This is why the scouts have to do a really good job of identifying the guys that are worthy of being first round picks. And then it's a matter of Dave Caldwell, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, finding the best player available and really going for value, not necessarily need. If you go pick a bunch of good players, you ensure that your team is going to be talented. You eventually can pawn some of those guys off if you have a need that you can't address in the draft or free agency.
So tell us about the two positions, tight end and guard. That's where we sort of think they may go late. Good year to be selecting 29 for those spots, it appears.
Oh, very good year. I think that's the thing. I think with Jacksonville, they're sitting in the catbird seat. If you look at the tight end position, two of the guys at the top, Dallas Goedert, and Hayden Hurst, both of those guys are impact players. Both are long, can stretch the field down the middle, but all can sit down and run those controlled possession routes that you need to have to move the chains. Then when you go to guard, Quentin Nelson won't be there. But there's some other options that are available. Isaiah Wynn, think about just Daniels, Billy Price from Ohio State. There are a number of guys that factor into that mix in the interior line that you can create the push and be able to be a dominant front line that you can run the ball, not only when you have to, but whenever you want to. And I think that is what Jacksonville is trying to evolve to.
Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst, host of the Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah, and I'm sure we'll see you in Indianapolis in a couple of weeks, Bucky.
Hey, when I see you, make sure you bring one of those nice gray sweatshirts that they're wearing in the playoffs. I'm looking for one.
We'll see if we can find your size.
You finally get off of it and come to Jacksonville and spend a couple of days here for training camp, Bucky, and we'll make sure you're outfitted.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get there. I'll see if I can work that into the plan.
It takes a playoff run to get Bucky off the to Jacksonville.
To the East Coast.
That's right, yeah. Well done. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Hey, thanks so much. Have a good one.
Bucky Brooks with us, at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. By the way, our coverage of the NFL Scouting Combine starts in a couple of weeks, Wednesday, February 28th in Indianapolis at the Indiana Convention Center. We'll have interviews, Jaguars brass at the podium, behind-the-scenes access, and much more throughout the weekend in Indianapolis.
I mean, so, Bucky, I don't even get a sweatshirt, so he can wait. He can get in line, pal. That's what I say. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Combine this year. It'll be interesting. As you said when we were talking to Bucky, the dynamic of the draft, how we cover it, changes so much that the combine's really where we'll start sort of gathering information as opposed to going after certain guys we're talking about. It's going to be a matter of trying to figure out which direction they're going, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right, guys, well done today. Have a good one.
You too.
We'll do this again next week.
I'm going to get a sweatshirt.
Good luck with that. Yeah. John Osier, Brian Sexton, Ashlyn Sullivan, our entire crew, Patrick Cavanaugh, Dave DeCandis. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live.